Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss how to successfully migrate from Magento 1 to WooCommerce. In 2017, Magento announced that all support for their Magento 1 service would officially end in June 2020. This Magento end-of-life announcement alerted all users that all updates, support, and security would stop updating on that date. For store owners based on Magento 1, the two main options became either upgrading to Magento 2 or transferring to a different platform altogether. Today we're discussing what you need to know to complete this transfer to another platform, emphasizing WooCommerce as a desirable destination for your store. On this episode, you'll hear a recap of the importance and implications of the Magento 1 end-of-life announcement. All sites hosted on Magento 1 will no longer receive product or security updates as of June 2020. This does not mean that your site will be taken down, but it will stop receiving software and security updates from Magento. Next, we'll discuss the time cost of a migration to a new platform. To fully transfer your site could take anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, perhaps even longer, depending on the amount of data you need to transfer. So you don't want to wait too long before getting started. And finally, we'll share some of the main ways to ensure a successful transition from Magento 1 to WooCommerce. We'll share a variety of practices that will help you accomplish a complete and orderly transfer, all without taking your store offline. If you're looking for information about how to transfer your site from one platform to another, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. All right, Chris, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you again.
Good to see you, Ryan.
Today, we're talking about the migration from Magento to WooCommerce, which we had done a previous episode simply on the announcement that Magento 1 was kind of coming to a stop. So can you give us a recap real quick on what's happening with Magento 1?
Sure, absolutely. So it's been announced before. We talked about it on an earlier episode, but Magento 1 reaches its end of life this summer, right? So yeah. Come June, which is just a short few months away, from the time we're recording this, not necessarily the time we're airing it, but in June of 2020, the support and the security patches and everything else will stop. Product will reach end of life. So people are already making a move, some to Magento 2, some to Shopify, and some to WooCommerce, right?
Okay.
That is why we're talking about WooCommerce specifically, and what does it mean to make that shift.
Okay, gotcha. So we're going to focus on moving to another platform, focusing on WooCommerce. Real quick, what's the time cost here? How long will this take to happen?
So when you make the move from Magento to WooCommerce, the time is driven by all the activity and how big the data set is. So if you're talking about a store that has a minimal number of orders, a minimal number of customers, and not a ton of additional features in play, you could do it pretty quickly, right? We've seen migrations that take 2 weeks and you go, oh, look, it's all there. But we've also seen migrations that take 6 weeks. So it's not a 10-week effort, it's not a 20-week effort, but between 2 and 4, 2 and 5. I mean, it's think about it as half a month to a month, and you go, okay, you know, that's good. That's good. We can make that happen.
Right.
The important thing is you're changing platforms, right? You're not just upgrading to the next version of the software or whatever. You're changing platforms, and platforms function differently, and the features function differently, and the data has to get managed and migrated in different data sets, right? So there's a lot to think through. Yeah. So the real issue isn't as much how long will it take, it's how complete will it be, right? And as a store builder, if your checklist is 3 things and someone else's checklist is 10 things and another developer's checklist is 50 things, well, the clients are going to want to choose the guy with 50 things, right? Or the gal that knows this and has done it 20 times before and says, here's my big checklist. It's bigger than everybody else's. Because then you know for sure, okay, we're going to make the move and it's going to be
okay. Now, can your store stay alive throughout the transition process? What does that look like?
So it can up until the last, up until the last bit, right? So what we recommend doing is take a data set, bring it over. Now, the moment you bring that data set over, the store, the Magento store, is going to keep taking in orders, right? Yeah. And you go, okay, there it is, right? There's going to be a gap in your data. So you may then take another snapshot from the last time you took the data to that moment in time. And then you might take another snapshot on the day that you actually make the switch, right? You move the domain, you point it somewhere else, and you go, okay, we're going to turn it off, take the last data difference, and move that over. But at that point, you're mostly talking about customers' orders, maybe some new gift cards that have come in, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it's a limited set of data. So you can move that over very quickly and turn the other side on. So up until the very last move, you should be okay.
Okay. And we should just clarify that the end of life announcement doesn't mean that the store is going to die in June. It just means
security patches and other kind of updates are going to stop, right?
Okay. So,
at Nexus, we have a product called Safe Harbor that allows customers to stay on Magento 1 for long period of times because we'll add patches to them.
Right.
But we have some customers, and there are customers all over the place using Magento 1 who are saying, no, I'm actively looking to make a switch, and whether it's Magento 2 or Shopify or something else. And we say, have you looked at WooCommerce? And more often than not, people are like, no, I haven't. And once they do, and we start showing them what's capable, then they go, okay, yeah. So we just migrated a store with hundreds of thousands of orders, tens of thousands of customers, and did the work. It was about a 4-week process. Mm-hmm. But it's, again, going back, right? The issue is, the size of the data means you're going to have to do some work, but it's really about the checklist, right?
Okay.
Do you have, are you looking in all the right places to make sure that you know how to bring everything?
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, let's jump into the actual transition and making it happen. What are some things that people need to keep in mind to pull off this transition?
So, the first thing you need to know is that getting data out of Magento is something that you want to do with someone who knows how to do that, right? So the amount of different places where data can sit inside Magento are many. And if you pull the wrong data from the wrong place, right, you'll end up with bad data. If you leave data sitting in another table that you didn't realize, especially if you're not the developer who built the site, right? So a developer can do all sorts of things with Magento in the same way they can with WooCommerce. They can add tables, they can add fields, they can add custom places to store data. And then they finish it and they walk away, right? Maybe that agency or developer built that store and left months ago, years ago.
Yeah.
Now you come in as a store builder and you say, yeah, I can make the move. A, you better know Magento. And B, you got to do some serious analysis of the underlying data to make sure that you're getting the right data, that you pull the right data.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways we recommend taking a look at it is you can pull the data from via SQL, right? You can the language that allows you to hit the database directly, but you can also pull it from PHP, right? You can also go from the code side, from where the store is functioning, use that code to go pull, and often that means you'll pull the right data because already you have UI and screens that are pulling that stuff up. So It's another way to do it. But either way, you're going to have to create an export of the data.
Okay.
And once you have that export of the data, you likely may have to shuffle where the fields exist and what order they're in so that you can load it into WooCommerce, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in WooCommerce, there is an order to importing data, right? You need to make sure that you import customers, coupons, and products before you ever import orders, because the order is going to have products in it and it's going to be tied to a customer and it may have used a coupon, right? So those other data elements have to exist there for referential integrity as you import the data in, right?
Right.
So the first thing you have to do is make sure you get the data extracts.
Okay.
the next thing you have to do is make sure that you get data imported in the right order and get it loaded in and start spot checking. But then you get into all these little places, taxes, shipping, gift cards, gift card balances. If you had any kind of point reward system, balances, points, reviews, right? You have all these little bits that help make the site feel like the same site that they were on, right? When a customer goes in, logs into the new WooCommerce site, can they, you know, can they see their balance? Can they see their orders? Can they see their gift card credit balance, right? Can they see their reviews? There's all those little pieces that isn't just about, you know, customers, orders, and products. And that's where most of the people spend their time. They start right there, but then you go, okay, we gotta fill out the rest, right?
Right.
And I know I could just keep talking and not let you ever ask another question. You ask the question, what do you need to think about? And I'm like, the URLs, right?
Okay.
The URLs on the Magento store were specific, whatever the slug structure, which means those are the URLs that people have written articles about and pointed back to. Those are all the backlink URLs. That's where people have saved or bookmarked URLs. All those URLs on the old site, you need to now figure out, okay, can I replicate that structure here on the WooCommerce side, or am I going to create redirects? Well, whatever you do, what you don't want to do is go from one URL structure in Magento to a completely different one in WooCommerce. And because the site loads and because you click on things and because you can make an order, you go, hey, here it is. It's good to go. And you give it to the customer. And the customer comes back and says, we went live and all my traffic has disappeared. And you're like, because Google suddenly sees a whole bunch of links that don't work anymore, and customers see links that don't work anymore, and so the whole thing is falling apart, right?
Right.
So the URL structures and the SEO tied to that store when you change platforms is really important.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot to consider. What's the best way to go about that? I mean, you obviously have to go through and readjust all of your traffic. That's upfront, right? But you also have to send an announcement to your customers, or how do you bring them along with you?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously what I recommend is this is all a game of spreadsheets, right? Export all the data out of all your customers in a spreadsheet and all your orders in a spreadsheet and all your products in a spreadsheet and all your gift card balances in a spreadsheet and all your reviews, and like just pull data out and have it. So if something weird happens, you're like, no, this is exactly right. Have the IDs, the previous IDs, because you have SKUs, right? You need to make sure that you bring in the same SKUs, match them up, or the product IDs if that's important. So you have all this data that you're bringing, get it out, load it in, make sure it matches. It's just a game of checking off every bit of data that you bring out and you pull back in. The other part is you likely are going to reset people's passwords. You're moving their name and email and account, you know, to another place and another platform. Hopefully you've kept that, you know, their passwords encrypted on the original site. So when you bring the new site, often it's one of those things where you just say, okay, I'm going to send a note saying we have upgraded our store as a security feature. We need you to come reset your password.
Okay.
And that will help people reset it and have that stored there. Okay. So, but you also, when a store builder has finished migrating everything over, the store owner is definitely going to want some way to get people excited to come back to the site. And hopefully what we've been able to do in changing platforms, every time we do a migration, the store owner, the merchant will say something like, there's this one thing I always want to change, but I can never seem to get my agency, my developer, my freelancer, my whoever to change it. Right.
Yeah.
And so the hope is when you make that switch to WooCommerce, that you're able to make that change, right?
Yeah.
We worked on a store recently where in the Magento side of things, the variations were just little icons that you clicked on so you could buy a one pack, a five pack, a 10 pack, right? Mm-hmm. But what the customer really wanted was a little grid that showed here's the one and the 5 and the 10, and you could pick quantities of each and then hit add to cart. And it wasn't hard, right? So we just did it. And for him, that was huge, right? There were little things like that, right? You just go through this little checklist of, you're not trying to change the scope of the migration, but one of the things store builders need to remember is there may be pent up demand by the merchant of things they'd already told or asked their previous developers. Hey, could we change this? Could we change this? Could we change this? This is the time to think about it, right? Especially if some of the things they want changed cost you nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're making a change to a different platform, and in the new platform, WooCommerce may do it already.
Yeah.
Right? May do it easily, may do it in an integrated way, or may do it easily because you know, again, you're hosting. In our case, customer was going from hosting on one vendor to us, right? To Nexus and Liquid Web. And the hosting, the page speed on the other hosting provider was 5 to 7 seconds of page load. And the product page on the Nexus infrastructure loaded in 1.2 seconds, right? But we didn't have to do anything. I mean, it's just the nature of the platform. So you make this move, you give it the right resources, and the customer's like, oh my gosh, what are all the things you did to speed it up? You're like, it came with WooCommerce. It came with a hosting platform. Okay. But there are other things, right? Like the Nexus plan comes with abandoned cart follow emails. And obviously Magento, this particular Magento store didn't have that. So we configured it. And all of a sudden he had this brand new feature that was, I can follow people back up and give them offers and everything else to get them back to my cart. And it wasn't a bunch of work for the store builder, right? Mm-hmm. It just wasn't a ton of work because it was part of the platform, part of the feature. So it's the other thing store builder, you know, should remember is there's potentially pent up demand. There's potentially historical gripes and frustrations and things they wanted different. And this is the moment to ask. And then you can just say, okay, that's a whole nother project. That'll be later. That's a whole nother. But these three things, those are easy. I can do them right.
Okay. Should you anticipate maybe a dip or a fluctuation in your traffic that's normal and that something outside that might be like abnormal?
If you've done the SEO part of it right, if your site is loading faster, not slower, and you've mapped the domain, made sure that the certificate comes through, because again, anytime you're talking about moving a domain to another host, you got to do all the work. Right? Mm-hmm. It's another one of those things you asked, what are things to think about? Every time I do a migration, which includes a platform change, but also potentially a hosting change, the first thing I do long before anything else is I go to my DNS for that domain and I set what are called the TTLs or time to lives down to the lowest number possible. What that really means is this, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody who interacts on the web interacts with a domain name, right? chrislemma.com. But chrislemma.com is actually just a pointer back to an IP address, right? 192.1.1.0. It's not that one. But there's a point. So how do you do the matching of the IP addresses to the domain names? Well, those directories that have, when they look up a name and you get the, you know, like white pages, you get the address for the phone number, they exist on routers all over the planet. But those routers all over the planet that have those tables of data, the white pages, they get them from a central source, right? The DNS registrar. So they go back and get that data and then they cache it. They have their default data set stored on the routers all over the world. Well, what happens when you want to change the domain name to the IP address? You likely want all those routers to get refreshed. But if you think about it, you know, at the last minute, you're going to have cached domains everywhere. It's going to be a problem. So you go to the domain registrar, the original one, and you set time to live to the lowest possible. It might be 5 seconds. It might be 30 seconds. It might be 60 seconds. But what that tells all those routers is, hey, the next time you ask me for this data and you get it, only store it for 60 seconds. And then the next time you get a request after that, you know, flush it out. Come back and ask me again. So what you're prepping is you're prepping all the routers of the world to say, keep coming back to me and asking me, keep coming back, because potentially I'm going to make a change. when you change, that's the time to live, right? This this registry entry can sit on your router for only this much time. Then you got to come back and ask. So when we started the project, we were 5 weeks away. 5 weeks before we did the turnover, we went in and changed the TTLs down to the lowest number. So now all the routers are just going, okay, every time someone puts in, you know, the domain name, we got to go back to the source and look it up. And so when we made the switch, waited 3 minutes, checked DNS propagation around the world, and they're like, yep, we have the new data. Then you can change the TTL back up. So it's another little thing, but when you're making that move, if you have managed the TTLs and you've managed the SEO and you've made the pages faster, then no, you shouldn't see traffic.
Okay.
But if you miss one of those three things, then yes, you will see a lost traffic.
That's really good to know. What's the cost overall? We've talked a little bit about the time cost, but does any of this cost you money?
So there are solutions out there that you can look at. Mm-hmm. One of the ones we look at and we know people recommend a lot is Cart2Cart, which is cart, the number two, and then the word cart again. Cart2Cart has a migration service. It is predominantly a data migration, meaning it will suck out products and orders and customers and coupons and images and, you know, product galleries and whatever. It will pull that data out of one system and bring it to the other. As we did it, right, as we tested that over the last year, sometimes it works really great and sometimes it chokes. And that's probably tied to how much data you're trying to move. The price, there is a cost. So if you're a store builder and you want to use that system, because maybe you're not an expert in whatever the source system was, right? Maybe it's an e-commerce platform you've not used before and you're bringing it over to WooCommerce. Maybe it's not Magento. Or maybe you just don't know Magento. You know the WooCommerce side.
Yeah.
Cart2Cart does a pretty good job of pulling the data out. The issue is whether or not you can get it to not kind of get clogged by how much data is coming through. So in that scenario, you might say, okay, we're going to pare down the original data, or we're going to only use this kind of solution for small stores. And if you do that, you know, there is a fee, right? It could cost you a couple $100 to do that, but you save yourself some of the effort of pulling the data out. If we get involved, we're likely pulling the data out directly. Mm-hmm. But store builders all over the place use tools like that. Mm-hmm. And so Cart2Cart has a little bit of cost. Almost all the rest of it is if the store has, and this is again one of those checklist items, does the Magento store have a feature? Excuse me. Does the Magento store have a feature that WooCommerce doesn't have or requires an extension? Right.
Okay.
So if Magento has a feature, you know, you're earning reward points for every purchase you buy, and WooCommerce basic, the core of it, doesn't have that feature, and you go, okay, I need to go get the MyCreds extension and put it in, it's going to change the nature of that migration, right? Because now you're going to take data from one source, you're going to put it in another, but you're putting it into a source that is an extension of WooCommerce, which means you have to first buy the extension, and then you have to do the work to put it in there. So that's where you start going, okay, feature for feature, walk me through the main feature of your store on Magento. Okay, now I'm seeing things. And as you're watching and asking questions, you're realizing what are the additional components you need to add to WooCommerce. But then you also have features in WooCommerce that weren't over there. And you go, hey, do you have this? You know, and that's where you see customers go, oh, we wanted that forever. Go,
okay, well, that's cool.
That's not a problem.
Yeah. And are you billing your store owner any differently for this work?
So Liquidweb and Nexus don't normally do migrations, right? We work with store builders to do the work. Every now and then we'll grab one because we want to really make sure that it goes right. Mm-hmm. But we make sure that we support every agency and every freelancer who's doing the migration. So often you want to find, and there are a lot of great hosts out there, but you want to find a partner who can work with you, right? Like the worst thing you want is you know, the customer says, I already bought my new plan over at host X, right? And then you go to import all the data and you say, hey, to the host, I want to run a performance test on this now that I have this data on this new platform with this new with WooCommerce. I run a performance test on it. And the host says, no, we don't let you do that.
Mm.
And you go, why? I need to make sure that everything is performant. I need to test this. I need to see where I need to tweak things or change things. They go, sorry, we don't do that. Because what they're really saying is we're worried that all of that traffic you're going to hit, even if it's fictitious traffic, is going to disrupt other customers on however they've done their infrastructure. Mm-hmm. At Nexus, right, we're like, yeah, bring it on, right? We'll do performance tests all day with you, right? Okay. And we have some more advanced WooCommerce performance tests in our managed WooCommerce product to really help figure out, okay, what's happening here? But the point is, you as long as you have a good host and you get a good partner and they function as a good partner, the store builder will do fine, right? They'll say, okay, I know how to work with this host to help make sure that this is working right.
Okay.
And that may be the last piece of all of this is, mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier, right? We took a 7-second loading site to a 1.2 loading site. Performance is everything. Mm-hmm. Performance is everything on Magento. Performance is everything on WooCommerce. Performance is everything, period. So you have to learn how to do performance testing. It's just mm-hmm. that's not an optional thing. You have to be able to run stores through, you know, GT metrics, through load impact. You have to be able to run concurrent users against it and make sure that you're good. You have to be able to just take page weights and evaluate what components are slow. You just have to be, I find that a big chunk of the migration happens after all the data is over. After the data is over, mm-hmm. after the additional features are added, after the look and feel is cleaned up, after all of that, you still have to go back and go, okay, what am I doing with object cache and full page cache and non-cache or cache exception rules and everything? Like, what are all the things I have to do? And at the end of it, how well does it perform? And if it performs great, that's awesome. If it doesn't perform great, you got to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Chris, this was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how you can successfully transition your store from Magento 1 to WooCommerce. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.